We're going to talk about people today. And in particular, we're going to talk about Christians. Specific Christians by name. I don't know if any of you have ever done that before. But, and if your mind is going one way, you're going not the same way I'm going to be teaching. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk about Luke. A Christian. The Bible is made up, and there are so many people are shown in here. Why did God put so many individuals in here and give us the details of their lives, the writings they had, the way they thought? Why did he do that? We're all different. We're people. God gave us examples in here. Some of them are bad examples that we know not to do. But many of them are examples, positive examples, that we need to emulate. We need to understand. Understand them as people. Sometimes individuals, if we go in there and they study the Bible and they put people on a pedestal. God shows us in here the people's, these Christians in the first century. He shows us their strengths and their weaknesses. And it's important for us to study in that way. I just chose a few. I've taught some of these classes, great characters of the Bible. I've taught in a junior high level. It's still the same thing. It's still the same Bible. It is people. We're going to look at Luke this morning to start with. We have time. I've got couple more people backed in here too, which I think we can probably go into. Who do you know is, when you hear the name Luke, what do you think of? The what?
The book written by
the man? A doctor? Physician? Those are the key aspects right there that gets thought of as the physician and the writer of two books. Interesting fact, though, and this is something, and when I studied this book that I had here, it was interesting because how many of you ever look into what biblical names meant? Do you know what your own name means? The origin. I found out William comes from German, and it means strong will. And I thought, yep, that's me. I was well named before they even knew. But the idea, though, is in the Bible, the fact is you can do some research and it tells you all the time what these names mean. And they're different. They're from different nationalities, different languages. Luke meant luminous or giver of light. Giver of light, that fits with his, when we look at the light being Christ, he knew how to give that. And an interesting thing too is, was Luke a vain person? How many times does he name himself in the two books that he wrote? Zero. He never mentions himself. Now, interesting enough, because they were the histories, especially the book of Luke, in reality, he really wasn't around, I don't think, at that point in time. Let's look in the book of Luke. If you'll turn to that and just look at, we'll look at the first few verses that Luke introduces some information. Now, we put in this perspective, he was a doctor, he was a very intelligent individual. Chapter 1, verse 1, inasmuch as many have taken in hand, what does that mean? Other people had written. Because you have to understand, Luke came later. Luke was not during the time of Christ. He wasn't involved, that we can tell. And in the next comment here, it tells you why. Taken in hand to set in order, we'll get to that in a second. And he took this in hand to set in order. That means there was a systematic way of writing. You can think, a doctor is going to think systematically, correct? I mean, that's the way their brains work. A narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us. Which is basically the gospel. Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. How did Luke get his information to write the book of Luke? The what? He was guided, yes, but he got the knowledge from people, the apostles, other ones who knew about this, and he guided by the Holy Spirit, but he had to have facts. Luke was a physician, which meant he had a brain that looked at things, and everything had to be in an order. A systematic. He mentions himself there. So he talked to eyewitnesses. Who's one of the great white eyewitness that he got a lot of information from? Paul. They were very close. But it doesn't mean he was the only one. Weren't there a lot of apostles around after? That's where he learned probably a lot of this information. We're talking to the apostles at the church in the book of, when he wrote the book of Acts. Now, he was much more integral in the book of Acts, and he was not mentioned, or we don't know about what he was doing during the time of the gospel. But it looks like he came in later, and he basically did his own research, did his own discussions with those who lived with Christ, who were around him, and understand the information. There was the idea, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. To write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. A name that's only mentioned twice in the Bible. And a man that we have no idea who he is. However, we talk about what a name means. What does Theophilus mean? Friend of God. Friend, lover of God. Friend of God. Exactly. Well, the philos is brotherly love. That's where that comes from. But he was a lover of God. Theo being God. In verse 4, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you are instructed. So he's given the authority, giving the information here as a doctor thinks, very clinical, very in order. Dirk. No, because of the way he wrote, he never mentions his own name in either one of the books that he wrote. But in the book of Acts, as we'll look at, we see signs, we know he was part of the thing then. He was on all these journeys with Paul and with Barnabas and others, and he was involved there. But the scriptures do not necessarily mention that he was a follower of Christ during Christ, because he says he had to talk to eyewitnesses to get the information. Not getting it from God himself. Was he moved by the Holy Spirit and given some clarity? Absolutely. Because the scriptures say that this was through the Holy Spirit that people wrote, these men wrote. What's that?
Was Luke a Jew?
Luke was a Greek, Jewish Greek, Hellenist, I think it was.
Luke was not a disciple.
No. He was a disciple, but he was not an apostle.
If you look at Matthew, Tim Chapman, mention that about
it. No, that's it. You don't see him in the Gospels. So he had to get the information, but he, during his lifetime, he definitely was a disciple of Christ, i.e., which is anybody who was a follower. Okay. Apostles were a different designation. Some people like to blend them together, and they are not. Right. All right. So the idea here is Luke has learned information. Nothing in the scripture shows that he was an eyewitness of Jesus. And his best source of information would have been Paul. Acts 16, verses 10 through 17. Acts 16. In verses 10 through 17, we see some information here. Let me pull up something here. Okay, hold off on that one just this minute. I'm going to come back to that. Because this is what I'm looking at here. I think I got the wrong information on there. Anyway, let me go on to a different area here. In the scriptures, what was the relationship with Paul? Between Luke and Paul? They were travel buddies.
When Paul was in prison in Rome, at one time he mentioned that the only person that was there.
We will get to that one. That's a major part of knowing Luke's involvement. Luke, being a doctor, do you think, and how do we know he was a doctor? Colossians 4:14. Paul wrote, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." Okay? How do we know another way of him being a physician? Approximately 50 words that he has used in his writings in the two books were medical terms. And that puts him different. Of the four Gospels, how many of them were learned individuals? One, Luke. The other three, a tax collector and fisherman. Tax collector knew money. That was his job. Luke knows medical. 2 Timothy 4:11. We find here the last words before facing death of Paul. "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." This was the last book, the last writings of Paul before he was put to death that we know of. In Philemon 24, verse 24, one of the prison epistles, referred to there as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. Luke is mentioned by Paul multiple times, but Luke is humble enough that he never mentions himself by name. Let's put it that way. When we get to this point, the gospel of love in here, Luke writes of Christ as Son of Man. No, none of the other writers go to the youth and the growth of Jesus except for Luke. We're given insight from the point of Luke beginning his book with the lineage of Christ, but it doesn't match up with the lineage that Matthew did in his first chapter. Matthew wrote as a Jew from the father's side, in the lineage. Luke wrote from Mary's lineage, which is great because we know for a fact then that both those lineages sync up at the same time, in the same place, which gives us that fact and confirms where Christ had come through, where he had come from. Luke looked at Christ and showed us him as human and divine. But he's a doctor, remember? He focuses on the human side first. Unlike John, who looked at Christ as the divine first and then human. It's two writers writing different ways. But it's great to see the both perspectives. I mean, we get to see in Luke Christ as a boy. Only one who mentions that. And it's the one that gives us the information of how we are to grow, how we are to raise our children in growth. Looking at Luke and trying to understand, it's important in Luke 2, that's where we find the fact of Jesus the boy. In the book of Acts, as I mentioned, we find, as I said before, Luke appears multiple times, but never mentions himself. Is it just the fact that he's being very humble? He's not trying to put himself out. He's not trying to this is me here. He doesn't do it that way. However, his writings do show him there. Acts 16, looking in verse 10. There's a key word in there that appears multiple times in the book of Acts. What is that word?
We.
He's writing his story here. We know he is a part of the story. He is living this time period. He is a person that knows the facts of what was happening. Well, you find that in verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, verse 16, because we see we, and it even says us. That's his other word he uses, between we and us. And then verse 17, us. Jump over to Acts 20, verses 5. You find it verse 5, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15. Luke did mention himself many times in that way, does he not? And doesn't that give us the Acts 27 is especially important one. That one shows up a whole lot. That's when he's with Paul and they get shipwrecked. Luke was with him. Luke accompanied him. All the way through the very last chapter of the book of Acts. Luke is there. In chapter 28, you get down to the last verse in the book of Acts. And Luke writes, "Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him." And that's the last we hear of Luke as far as in the scripture. Historical aspects, though, point him to the fact some of the facts in the scripture here show him as somebody who was there with Paul up to the last verse that Paul was able to write. Luke was there. I recently was flipping channels, one of these free showings of a movie. Someone had made a movie called Paul the Apostle. And it was interesting just from... they added a whole bunch of stuff in there. Of course, they have to. Otherwise, all they can put is what little is in the scripture. It's going to be a very short movie. Yeah. He used his skills as a healer. And he was there especially for Paul. And going back to that movie, the thing that was interesting is it gave a visual representation. We are visual people, are we not? Generally, if you see something just in a book, well, you've got to create your own, and we all create our own ways of thinking and what's described. This was just, it was an interesting fact, and the individual, the actor who was playing Luke was Jim Caviezel, who was played Christ in The Passion. So he's one that's very involved in the religious things, but it was interesting to see the interaction showing Paul in chains with the Romans around him and everything. It kept him in tight, and they were, but during that same time, again, this is taking place in Rome, and who's being punished? Who's being killed in Rome? No, not the Jews. Christians. The Christians are being killed. And the one factor, one little thing in this movie that stuck in my head, and it just gave me a visual, even though I've read it and I've heard about it and everything, was how they, the Romans, were killing off the Christians by tying them up in on a big stake and lighting them on fire at night so they could see their way around. And that was women, children, and men. It was interesting to see what they put in the perspective of the captain of the Romans that were guarding Paul. They got along with him fine. They had to keep him in chains. And the movie ends in such a way that they know that it's soon Paul was going to die. But now to look back again at Luke, who is a Christian, just like us, and how he chose to live his life as an author, guided by the Holy Spirit, to give us information that we wouldn't have gotten from any other source possibly, unless God had directed it. But we have a perspective, and that's what's great about the four Gospels, is we get to look at them from different angles. It's kind of like the old thing that I remember, in which if there's an accident on a corner and you have witnesses on four of those corners, are they going to tell you the same story?
No.
Different perspectives they saw, different things they're interested in. You'll have one who's the car guy who's going to describe that car in detail and what they were doing and all this, and someone else is looking at the people that were in the car. It's good to understand. We get this perspective from the four Gospels, that we can see it from the how they wrote each of them. And Luke was the physician. Let's talk about another Christian. Let's talk about Matthew. Was he a well-liked person? No. And myself being somebody who has to work with taxes, sometimes they comes down on me. They blame me for saying, hey, I'm just the intermediary, and I'm just doing what the government says you have to do. No more, no less. Sometimes I've had ones that just believe I should fix it. Not my job. Excuse me. I've got a little bit of a dry throat here. Matthew, what do you know about him? Do you know what his name means? Gift of Jehovah. We don't know a lot of his background. He was a Jew. Who was his father? He's the son of Alphaeus. And as we mentioned before, what was his avocation? Publican, as mentioned in there, which is a Jewish tax collector. Was he getting this money for the Jews? kind of. Because you remember, as he's collecting it from people, he gets a cut of that. As he passes it on to the Jewish heads, they take a cut of it to make sure then they give the Romans what that they're supposed to get. So they always collected more, so as it went up the chain, the Romans got what they were asking for, but then so did every other hand as it went through it. Does that sound familiar with a terrible government system? Yeah. And that's why the publicans, they were the ones on the front line. They were the ones on the street. They were the ones having to ask the people for the money. People hated them. Most of the time, it's because they also hated the Romans. They didn't like having to pay this to them. Who did they pay before the Romans? The Greeks. When Alexander the Great came through, he allowed them, as a matter of fact, because of a relationship with them, he allowed them some not having to pay as much. But when it came to the Roman, they wanted their cut, and they wanted it sent to them, paid up the ladder. So we know Matthew was not a well-liked individual, possibly. What was his other name? Levi. So as this situation goes, Matthew was in sync with Mark and Luke. Mark and Luke, as a matter of fact, they both call him Levi in there. They're the only ones who mention the name Levi. Matthew was the writer to the Jews. Luke was a writer to the Greeks. So we have this different perspective. The term kingdom of heaven mentioned predominantly in Matthew. He was the one who first mentioned it. Kingdom of heaven. 32 times he refers to that, to heaven. He refers to just kingdom 55 times. In Matthew 10, he's the only one that gives us the recorded instructions to the 12. What does that say about him? Anything in particular? They were all there. Matthew, Mark, John. We know all three of them are there, but they don't speak of it. In Matthew 16, look verses 17 and 18. I like hearing those pages turn. Could have put it on the screen, but now this is better. We're really getting into this. All right. Chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against us." The only one who writes about the church that's coming. At least he's the first one there. Acts 1:13, we find that Matthew was there for the ascension. And Matthew was one, a scholar to the point of being, he quoted the Old Testament over 100 times. He did his work. He did what he could to make sure, because he was writing to the Jews, so what better way to bring them in sync and bring them into a way that they can understand than to write and quote Scripture to them. So we have the point of Matthew with his flaws, or supposed flaws. He was present there. And the fact that he's used in the Old Testament was, as I said, that was the primary aspect of that. Let's see if we can get another one in here. Turn to Acts chapter 6. Now we're going to talk about a deacon. Look, starting in verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Of all those names mentioned, which one stands out? Stephen. It's the first one and the only one that had accolades next to his name. Now we're looking. See, this has come full circle. Luke wrote this book. And this concept and this information. And the one who would have been the best one to give him information? I have one right here. Thank you, though. Who would have been the one to give this information to Luke? Paul, as he was Saul at that point in time, Saul was there. And we know the closeness between the two of them later on, as the scripture shows us. Stephen was what nationality? Refers to him as a Hellenist, which is a Greek-speaking Jew. He came from the areas north, the family and so forth, and that's important to understand. Again, we have another thinking individual here, technical aspects with the Greeks. What was the major culture? I mean, came from an area. He was a man of culture and great reputation, as it describes in here. Full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Understanding that he was not an apostle, but he was a deacon. He was a deacon. And what does the word deacon also mean?
Servant.
Someone who serves. And you understand from this scripture at this point in time that Luke has written in here, we understand that there was a need. There were a group of Christians that weren't getting served in the way that they needed spiritually and physically. And so they chose men to do work. Just as we've learned over the last month or so, the deacons that are here and are working were the same as they were then. Given a specific job to do. We all are to do any and all jobs we can, are we not? As Christians. We are all part of this church, this congregation here. And we all are to do what we can, use the gifts that God has given us to serve Him. Not everybody can stand up here and be a teacher. I didn't train to be a teacher. But I found as I grew older, I had some abilities that I could get up here and do that. And so I serve God in this way anytime I can. Even when it's a week ago and Dan Jenkins comes up and says, I forgot to get a teacher. Can you teach my class next week? And I say, yes. I rarely turn down, even during my busy work season, if it's happening and I can do it, I enjoy teaching God's word. It makes me study a whole lot more. And you generally, a teacher is going to learn more in order to understand and teach the class. So Stephen here, he was the first of the seven that were selected. And what happened to him, and it describes him again later on in verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. How were they able to do that? Go back to verse 6. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. So the apostles gave them gifts of the Holy Spirit. So they had abilities to serve, whether it was to heal. And remember, not everybody was given that ability, the same abilities. Through the Holy Spirit went into them so that it was to that individual's strength and what they could do. They're not going to give an accountant a greater ability to be a farmer. Doesn't make sense, does it? Yeah, there. Right. They were given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And that is the importance of the leadership. We are, deacons are servants, but are they not also supposed to show as leaders? It's a two-part thing of what we're supposed to do. Yes. Proselyte is someone who was, if I remember correctly, I didn't say, someone who was converted. Yeah. Someone who's been converted from perhaps another religious aspect. They became, and basically so many of them were proselytes because they came. God sent Jesus to who first? The Jews. So generally it's anybody outside the Jewish that were converted were considered those that were coming from a whole different religion. Okay. Stephen here, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs. And then go to verse 9. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. This was an interesting fact. I never read this and understood. There were multiple synagogues in Jerusalem by where the people came from. They separated themselves. In other words, so the Jews in Jerusalem didn't necessarily go to the same synagogue as these that came from Cilicia, which was a province to the north. It's kind of like they gathered together. Who else well-known came from Cilicia? Huh? One even stronger than that one. And he was there. Saul. Tarsus is the capital of Cilicia. So we know Saul of Tarsus. He came from here. So that's why he was there at this time specifically. He was around his brethren that he knew. I never put that together before with that until I looked at, because it doesn't mention Tarsus here. But we know that he came from Tarsus, and we know that Tarsus was considered the capital of Cilicia. And they were in there, and it's interesting because when he was disputing with them, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." They hired witnesses to dispute Stephen and to say lies. What club did he just join with this situation? He joined the same club that Jesus was done to, in which people came forward and lied about what he had done. Great government system, right? In this area here, they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him to council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "The man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Don't know exactly what that means, other than some situations we know that the face of an angel could glow and set them apart. It's scripture is what it is. We can't really tell, as Luke wrote, what made that differentiation. But as it goes through here, because we're going to run out of time, he taught, he went back over, he was knowledgeable enough to go back over the entire history of the Jews and explain, I mean, he rattled it all off there in front of them, not with preparatory, he knew it. He had it written on his heart. And he talked to them about the Jews and where they came from and what they were supposed to do. Talked about Moses. He talked about the fathers in the wilderness. I mean, he went through quite a few. And even saying that, even after doing that, they still wanted to kill him. And they did kill him. And what kind of man did Stephen go out as? A martyr. He went out praying for those who were killing him. How many of us could think to do that? That'd be kind of tough, would it not? When they're throwing stones, and they're not throwing little stones, they're throwing basketball-sized stones if they could find them. Ragged, jagged, anything they can throw to just pile on. Not a fun way to be punished and put to death. Well, there's the bell. What timing. Thank you very much for the class.